August 11th, the holy martyr Euplus. Euplus was a deacon in Catania, Sicily. Emperor Diocletian dispatched Commander Pentagoras to Sicily to exterminate any Christians he found there. Pentagoras did not find a single Christian, for the few that were there hid from the persecutors and did not reveal themselves. Then someone accused Saint Euplus of taking a book to secret Christians and reading to them. This book was the Holy Gospel. They soon brought him to court, hung that book around his neck, and led him to prison. After 7 days of imprisonment and hunger, Euplus was handed over to torture. While they were beating him with iron rods, Euplus mockingly said to the torturing judge, "O ignorant one, do you not see that because of God's help, these tortures are for me as a cobweb? If you can, find other harsher tortures, for all of these are as toys." Finally, they led the martyr of Christ out to the scaffold. Then Saint Euplus opened the Holy Gospel and read from it to the people for a long time. Many converted to the faith of Christ. Saint Euplus was beheaded in the year 304 AD and took up habitation in the kingdom of heaven. His miracle-working relics repose in a village near Naples called Vico della Batonia. The holy female martyr Susanna, the Virgin, and others with her. Susanna was the daughter of a Roman presbyter, Gavinius, and the niece of Pope Gaius. Gaius and Gavinius were of royal lineage and kinsmen to the then Emperor Diocletian. Emperor Diocletian had an adopted son, Maximian Galerius, whom he, Diocletian, wanted to marry Susanna. But Susanna, completely dedicated to Christ the Lord, did not want to hear at all about marriage, and particularly not about marriage with an unbaptized man. Those who asked her to marry the emperor's son, the aristocrats, Claudia and Maxima, Susanna converted to the Christian faith along with their entire household. Enraged by this, the emperor ordered that the executioners take Claudia and Maxima with their families to Ostia, where they were burned alive and their ashes thrown into the sea. However, Susanna was beheaded in the home of Gavinius. The emperor's wife, Serena, secretly a Christian, removed Susanna's martyred body at night in honor buried it, and Pope Gaius converted that house where Susanna was slain into a church and celebrated services there. Shortly following the suffering of this bride of Christ, her father Gavinius and her uncle Pope Gaius also suffered. They all suffered honorably for the Lord and received the wreath of glory in the year 295 AD and 296 AD. Saint Niphon, Patriarch of Constantinople. Niphon was born in Greece. He was tonsured a monk in his youth and, at first, lived a life of asceticism outside the holy mountain, Athos, and after that, on the holy mountain in various monasteries, remaining the longest in Vatopedi and Dionysiu. He was loved by all the holy Agiorites, as much for his rare wisdom as well as for his unusual meekness. He became the bishop of Thessalonica against his will. 2 years later, he journeyed to Constantinople on business and there was elected to the vacant throne of the Patriarchate. He was banished by the Sultan to Jedirene, where he lived in exile. The Wallachian Romanian Prince Radul besought him from the Sultan and named Niphon as Archbishop of the Wallachians. Because of Radul's transgressions, Niphon departed Wallachia and returned to Mount Athos to the community of Dionysiu, where he lived a life of asceticism until his 90th year, when he took up habitation in the kingdom of God in the year 1460 AD. He composed the Prayer of Absolution, read at the burial service. O Lord Jesus Christ, by his divine grace, as also by the gift and power vouchsafed unto his holy disciples and apostles, that they should bind and loose the sins of men. For he said to them, "Receive you the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. And whatsoever you shall bind or loose upon earth shall be bound or loosed also in heaven." By the same power also transmitted to us from them, this my spiritual child, name is absolved through me, unworthy though I be, from all things wherein as mortal he or she have sinned against God, whether in word or deed or thought, and with all his or her senses, whether voluntary or involuntary, whether with knowledge or through ignorance, if he or she be under the ban or excommunication of a bishop, or if a priest, or he has sinned by an oath, or has been bound, as a man, by any sins whatsoever, but has repented him thereof, with contrition of heart, he or she is now absolved from all those faults and bonds. May all those things which have proceeded from the weakness of his or her mortal nature be consigned to oblivion, and be remitted to him or her through his loving kindness, through the prayers of our most holy and blessed and glorious Lady Theotokos, and ever Virgin Mary, of all the holy, glorious, and all laudable apostles, and all of the saints. Amen. The Venerables Basil and Theodore of the Monastery of the Caves in Kiev. Both Basil and Theodore died by violence at the hands of the avaricious, money-loving Prince Istislav in the year 1098 AD. The hagiography of Saint Theodore is especially instructive for the avaricious. Theodore was very wealthy and distributed all of his wealth to the poor, and was tonsured a monk. After that, he repented and grieved for his wealth, and was greatly tempted by the evil spirit of avarice, from which Saint Basil freed him. Hymn of Praise, Saint Susanna the Virgin.
Branch of paradise planted, and on earth raised, the branch grew and matured, with heaven, with the heart combined. The black earth did not darken her, the evil of the world did not bend her. Susanna, a branch of paradise, is by God's Spirit illumined. Virgin of Christ the God, the Son of the Emperor scorned. The Emperor became angry, the Emperor threatened her, that he will bitterly avenge. But Susanna did not even want to listen. In her the mind of God contemplates, her heart illumined to Christ betrothed. The kinsmen were amazed, and in Christ all were baptized. All the kinsmen baptized were, and martyrs became. The Emperor his bloody hand raised, upon Susanna's suffering imposed. But all the suffering is aimless, when the soul in the faithful is powerful. Susanna's head fell, and her soul in paradise stood. In paradise stood before her Christ, Susanna's pure soul.
Reflection. If a man sets off on the path of righteousness, let him walk only by the path of righteousness with both feet, and let him not step with one foot on the righteous path, and with the other foot on the unrighteous path. For God said through the prophet about the righteous who commit unrighteousness, all his righteousness that he has done shall not be mentioned, in his trespass that he has trespassed, and in his sins that he has sinned. In them shall he die. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 24. The Wallachian prince Radul was a just man, and performed many good deeds. He brought Saint Niphon out of bondage in Jeterine, and made him the Archbishop of Bucharest. But suddenly, Radul committed a dreadful transgression. He gave his sister to be the wife of the corrupt Prince Bogdan of Moldavia, while Bogdan's wife was still living. Radul did not heed the protests of Niphon. Niphon prophesied an evil end for Radul, publicly excommunicating him from the church, and departed from Wallachia. Shortly thereafter, there was a drought and a great famine in Wallachia, and Radul fell into an incurable illness, and his entire body was covered with sores. And because of the stench, no one was able to approach him. When Radul was buried, his grave shook for 3 days, as once did the grave of Empress Eudoxia, the persecutor of Saint John Chrysostom. Contemplation. To contemplate the self-will of the Jewish people. 1 Samuel chapter 8, 1 Kings chapter 8. How the Jews sought of Samuel that he appoint a king for them. How Samuel protested this in the name of the Lord, who proclaimed that he is the only king. How the people remained stubborn, rejecting the will of God and the counsels of Samuel. Homily. about how ugliness comes with sin. Instead of sweet smell, there will be stink, and instead of a girdle, a rent, and instead of well-set hair, baldness, and burning instead of beauty. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 24. This is the word about extravagant and wayward women, about the daughters of Zion who have become haughty, and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16. What was it that made the Hebrew women proud? Was it virtue? Virtue never made anyone proud, for, in fact, virtue is a cure against pride. Was it the strength of a people and the stability of the state? No, on the contrary, the prophet exactly foretells the imminent bondage of the people and the destruction of the state, and, as one of the main causes for slavery and destruction, the prophet cites vain extravagance, spiritual nothingness, and wayward women. What, therefore, made them so proud and haughty? Ornaments and embroideries, stranded beads and necklaces, trinkets and hairpins, garters and girdles, perfumes and rings, quivers and mirrors? Behold, this is what made them proud and haughty. Exactly all of this is an expression of their ignorant pride, but the true cause of their pride is spiritual nothingness. From spiritual nothingness comes pride, and that external melange, mixture of colors, which women drape over their bodies, is only an obvious manifestation of their ignorant pride. What will become of all this in the end? Stench, disheveledness, baldness, and burning. This will occur when the people fall into bondage, as usually happens. First, the spirit is enslaved by the body, and then the body is enslaved by an external enemy. Thus, that will be even then when the inescapable conqueror of our bodies comes, death. Sweet smells will not help in the grave, the kingdom of stench. Neither will there be a need for girdles for a naked spine, skeleton. Neither will braided hair save the skull from baldness, nor all the beauty from the black remains of burning. This is the inescapable fate of the most beautiful, the healthiest, the wealthiest, and the most extravagant women. But this is not the greatest misfortune. The greatest misfortune is that the souls of these women, with their stench, disheveledness, baldness, and burning, will come before God and before the heavenly hosts of the most beautiful of God's angels and righteous ones. For the stench of the body connotes the stench of the soul from depraved vices. A disheveled body connotes the insatiability of the soul for bodily pleasures. The baldness of the body connotes the baldness of the soul of good works and pure thoughts. Burning of the body connotes the burning of the conscience and the mind. Oh, how dreadful is the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos. Dreadful then, and even dreadful today. Dreadful because it is true. O Lord, holy and all pure, help the women who make the sign with your cross, that they may remember their souls, and to cleanse their souls before your righteous judgment, so that their souls, together with their bodies, do not become eternal stench. To you be glory and thanks always. Amen.